Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
We've only got 10 guys on the field. They're down and 7. This one is launched from McLaurin. He's got it! Touchdown! Touchdown, Terry McLaurin!
The 3rd and 7 Monday night touchdown throw to Terry McLaurin that gave Washington a 38-26 lead against the Bengals. And that really was the first moment of 2024. What's your number one moment of 2024? By the way, I'm pretty sure, if my memory serves me correctly, that hearing Troy Aikman say they only have 10 on the field, remember, I think he was wrong about that. I think they did have 11 on the field. That's what just jumped into my mind when I heard the play-by-play call with Buck and Aikman. I'll go back and look at that. But for whatever reason, I think he got it wrong and there were 11 on the field on that 3rd and 7. 301-230-0980, what's your number one? My number one is the Lions game, the divisional round playoff win in Detroit. The most hostile of environments, such a high-profile spot, 9-point underdogs against the number one seed, and to go in and hang 31 on them in the first half, nearly 300 yards of offense in a half, to beat them 45-31, to force turnovers, and to just quiet that crowd. It seemed like the first moment, and it was in 33 years, where it's like, wow, we just had a monumental win in the NFL. That was great. Before I get back to your calls, so there is some breaking news. We expected this, but Chairman Phil Mendelson, the city council chair, is going to hold a press conference here shortly. I'm going to read to you what he has tweeted out with respect to the RFK deal. Quote, "Today we're scheduling a vote for Friday, August 1st, 2025. So that would be a week from tomorrow, to consider the RFK campus legislation. We've been working with the Washington Commanders for several weeks, and we feel we have a much improved agreement that would bring the team back to their historical home, as well as develop the land around the RFK campus. It's clear that the Commanders showed through their negotiations, their commitment to the district, and their willingness to consider what's in the best interest of our citizens. The process working with the Commanders has been extremely productive, and they've been a cooperative partner. Overwhelmingly, residents have asked the council for due diligence on this multi-billion dollar deal, and under immense outside pressure to rush the process, I feel that along with next week's hearings, the council will have what's needed to move forward with the vote." And then he shows, he's got a graphic where he compares the original agreement, the original term sheet that the mayor negotiated with the team, and how he and his team have improved that deal. There is some competition, man, between the city council and Phil Mendelson in particular and the mayor. And he was definitely feeling the heat, not only from the mayor's office, not only from people like me, and even, I think, from the team to, by the way, pick it up a little bit. Let's move a little bit faster. Let's show a little bit more urgency. But he was sensitive to that. And it looks like it's a better deal. I'm a tax-paying resident of the District of Columbia. I wanted a better deal. So good job by Phil Mendelson and the city council to get a better deal. And really good job by the mayor to make it happen originally. This is not unusual that the first term sheet, that's not a final deal, it's a term sheet. You know, anybody that's ever been involved in a business transaction, there's a term sheet and there are further negotiations that often take place, especially in an environment like this one where it has to pass another step, which was the city council. So it looks like we are 8 days away, 1 week from tomorrow, away from an easy, I would imagine, an easy yes vote on RFK, and now 2030's in play. The mayor was on with the junkies. We'll play some of that sound for you coming up in this hour. We're going to have a stadium at RFK in 2030. And I'm telling you, that means we are going to have a Super Bowl in D.C. in less than 10 years. I would put it in maybe the 2032 season, something like that, 2033. We'll end up having a Super Bowl here. Obviously, this is going to be a roofed stadium. Whether or not it's retractable, I have no idea. I'm assuming that the architects and the design, it's still conceptual, but we know that it's going to be a roofed, domed stadium because you can't generate the kind of revenue they want to generate from this stadium without it. You've got to be able to host events like concerts during the wintertime, like a Super Bowl, you know, which the NFL, after the Meadowlands Super Bowl in 2013, said, we'll never do an outdoor stadium in a cold weather city again. They survived that by, remember, about 12 hours. Because about 12 hours after the game, an 8 to 10-inch snowstorm came in. Imagine had it been earlier. It would have ruined the Super Bowl game. NFL can't have that. They can have that in a championship game. They can have that in the playoffs. Can't have that in the Super Bowl. We're less than 10 years away from hosting a Super Bowl. And so good job by the mayor. Okay, it certainly looks like Chairman Mendelson wants to take all the credit for this, along with the city council, but congratulations to him and the city council as well. This is normal. Somebody negotiates the term sheet, but because it's not a finalized deal, there is room for negotiation. There's room to make it better, by the way, on both sides. So good job by DC, good job by the team. It would appear as if this is a win-win for everybody. And unlike many other cities that tend not to want to fund or help billionaire owners build stadiums, this city is in favor of it. I am. Can't wait. Not just for the football, but for everything that may be coming to our city. This is a great city and will be a great host for some big events over the next 25 years, beginning in 2030 and beyond. All right, back to your favorite moment of 2024. Again, for me, the most exhilarated, the most feeling like I used to feel as a fan, the closest I've been to it was that Saturday night in late January against the Lions. That 45-31 playoff win, I'm telling you, we had a younger caller earlier, and for my boys as well, it'll be the first just all-time memory. The Tampa game the week before might be, and certainly the Hail Mary will be as well. There are a lot of moments from last year, but that stage to play that well in that environment, and it was unexpected, not by us. Remember, a lot of us felt like we got a shot as long as five is on the field and the offense is out there. Nobody's going to stop us offensively. The big question about that game was, could you keep Detroit from scoring 40 plus? And the turnover battle obviously was massive in that game, as it would become the following week in Philadelphia, for the wrong reasons. Paulie, Paulie, go ahead.
Big guy, hail to the W. How you doing?
What's up, big fella?
It's funny because you're saying the most your favorite moment, right? But in my mind, I just keep feeling and thinking my most favorite Jaden Daniels moment.
Yeah, right.
How about when Roger Goodell called his name at the draft?
Yeah.
That's the most favorable moment. Nah, but it got to be for me the Eagles game, man. The 5 touchdowns and bringing his back. Not even just the 5 touchdowns throwing. Him running the ball. He was unstoppable in that fourth quarter, man. I mean, I know the fact that he even threw the picks. And still
he threw that bad pick and came back off of it, yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? I was just like, man, like we really do got a Patrick Mahomes type quarterback here, man. This is crazy. And I think that led into, you know, for the rest of the season of, you know, we got a chance every game. So I would say that Eagles game, man, on 5 touchdowns. A close second for me is the Tampa Bay game, the playoff game in Tampa Bay, where everybody in a moment knew on that fourth down that he was going to run the ball.
Right.
Even Tampa's defense, because they was all over him, and all they got was his towel. And he still picked up the first down. So,
by the way, talking about runs, back to your number one, the 4th and 15 or whatever it was, when they went for it, you know, late third quarter, down 13, I think it was, 27-14, and he takes off and runs like 30 yards, and it was like so easy.
And really, one little quick move, he could have took that to the distance. He could have took that one to the distance, man.
Yeah.
But I was telling Chris, like, I feel about Jaden, and I know the opposing team's got to feel about Jaden, almost how I feel about when we play Saquon Barkley. Like, you can't stop this dude, man. He's going to do what he wants to do. So I would say that Eagles game,
but the ball's in his hands on every play. That's the difference.
Every play. Right. But that Eagles game, they couldn't stop him in that fourth quarter, passing or running. And the one time they did stop him with the interception, it's almost like it just fueled his fire even more. Like, you can't – he refused to let us lose that game, man. So, like I said, my favorite moments are – I'm getting confused with, because all I can see is Jaden Daniels, man. Like, my favorite
moments
is my favorite
Jaden Daniels. Well, I mean, every big moment, he was involved. Was there a big defensive moment at any point during the season?
You know what? I'm going to tell you a big defensive moment in the game. You said the Detroit game. That interception –
yeah, the Quan Martin.
Mikey. No.
Oh, the Sanders still end of half. Yeah.
That was a big interception.
That was big.
Right there.
Because
that kept us ahead, you know, before the half.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that was a big play. But yeah, man, Jaden Daniels, man, walk across that stage with Roger Goodell. Definitely a memorable moment.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Appreciate it. Let's go to our guy, Billy. Billy, go ahead. Your favorite moment, number one moment of 2024.
Kevin, the whole season was phenomenal, and as a group of fans, we all will never experience anything like that, to have 4-12 and then to go to the NFC Championship and have found the best quarterback probably who's going to be in 4-13, dismal season. I remember the worst season, the worst game from that 4-13 season. It was the Chicago game. That was horrendous, but it was
right
just
on
an
Thursday
unbelievable
night.
Season.
Yeah.
Holy crow! I mean, my wife had to hide the razor blades. The Detroit game was number one. Obviously, I was in Vegas with my brother Chantilly 5. It was fantastic. Vegas was insane. The whole world got to witness. JD5, the Eagles game, amazing. 5 turnovers in that Eagles game and down 21-7 in the first quarter. And was there anybody listening right now when we had the ball with 10 seconds left and 10 yards to go for a touchdown that didn't say, this guy, JD5, is going to throw a touchdown pass? And there's Crowder, boom, touchdown. Fantastic. The Bengals game, 2-0-2, 21 of 23 for 254, 2 touchdowns. The resurrection game, that throw to Terry, and let's get Terry in training camp and just so fired up for the season. Thanks, brother.
Thanks, Billy. Appreciate it. Let's go to Woody. Woody, what was your number one moment in 2024?
Hey, Kevin, thanks for having me on. Long time, sure. First time.
Well, good to have you, Woody. Thanks.
Great to be on. Mine is the Browns game. I've been on the other side of that so many times where you don't have a quarterback, that it was real nice to be on the other side of it for once. And it started to feel normal. You know, I think that put us to 4-1, and it started to feel like we were just going to be a team that could beat up on lesser teams. And that the pass to De'Ami Brown,
to De'Ami late in the half, yeah.
Oh, it was great. And then to find out that was Jaden's idea and that Kingsbury went with it, you could just feel it all starting to happen. So, and there's nothing better than just a stress-free Sunday, you know. So I was just,
well, he had the pass. He had the big throw to Terry early in that game, right? That big bomb he threw to Terry early in the game.
And that was he rolled out. He avoided the sack and rolled out, and that was a question to that point. Does he keep his eyes down the field when he escapes the pocket?
Yeah.
So to see it happen was just like a culmination of, you weren't sure what we were seeing was real yet. And for me, the Cleveland game was, I think what we're seeing is for real. I think this is going to be interesting. So
I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, it was their second drive, third and 13 to Terry for 66 yards. But then he threw an interception at the goal line to Owusu Koramoah. I don't remember that.
Yeah. It was it kind of put a little stink on it, but it's still, they could have gotten 10 interceptions that game. When you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance in this league. And like I said, we've all been on the wrong side of that a lot. So it's nice to be on the other side of it now.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. That would not have been anywhere near on my list, the Cleveland game. But I do remember that particular game was like the first game in which I said, there is a problem developing. And it was their inability to stop the run. Because the week before that, they had blown out Arizona. But James Conner had rushed for over 100 yards and like 6 yards per carry. And then Cleveland, with no threat, zero threat to throw the football, because Deshaun Watson was just not interested in playing football anymore. And they were averaging with their running backs over 5 yards per carry. And again, it was a blowout win. But I remember at that point, I'm like, we do have a problem. And Derrick Henry was the next week. And it was like, you know, if you can't stop Derrick Henry, you got no shot to win the game. And they didn't stop him. And Henry, you know, went for like 6 yards a carry. And I remember that Cleveland game thinking, God, when you can't throw the football at all and you're still rushing the football for 5 yards a carry with your running backs, that is at least a slightly, you know, pinkish, reddish flag on what they were going to be defensively that year. Let's go to Bay. Bay, go ahead. Your number one 2024 moment from the season was what?
What's up, Kevin? Thanks for taking my call. My one game was the Carolina game. We finally got something that we all been waiting for Darrell Green's jersey to get retired. I remember that first quarter and Jaden Daniels, it was like I was holding my breath all season. Learn how to protect yourself. He got hurt in that game. Yeah. And the way this team rallied behind that, and then to see that halftime show where the fans were going crazy as Darrell Green gave that speech, and then Louisville and then Tim, they came out and they put a horrific scar on that offense, man. I mean, it was so beautiful to see that in our house, to rejoice that we've had messing up the Sean Taylor trophy and all this other stuff. They got it right. We won that game for Darrell Green. Normally we would lose after something like that, and we put it on him, man. I am so glad of that guy. I really learned a lot, and I think Jaden Daniels learned a lot as fans as well, how much he really can take and how much of a competitor he is. Thanks for taking my call, Kevin.
Yeah, sure, Bay. I mean, look, you took us back again, like the Cleveland game. The Carolina game would not have been on my list, Darrell Green's jersey retired or not. But it was an interesting point in the season because Mariota came in. Remember the first possession? they basically went backwards with Mariota, and I was like, uh-oh. And then he settled down, and he was awesome. Yeah, the first plays for Mariota were 4-yard run, sacked, penalty, false start, incompletion, punt. And it was like we hadn't been watching many punts at any point during the season. But I think what I remember most about that game in that stretch of football was this is the one flaw. This is the one concern is look at his frame. You know, he had been banged up in the Giant game in week two. And then, you know, being taken out on that long run in the Carolina game with the rib injury. And then we had the entire following week, would he or wouldn't he play against Chicago? And then, by the way, after the Chicago game, I think the Giant game on the road was one of the best games for Jaden all year long. That's why during that stretch when everybody said he's hurt, and I was talking to people, and they're like, he wouldn't be out there if he was hurt. And that Giant game was his highest QBR game of the regular season. He was phenomenal in that game against a really good defense. Let's go to James. James, your number one moment from 2024 was what?
I would have to say it was the Atlanta game. And the reason why I say the Atlanta game in the playoffs is because
the Atlanta game was not in the playoffs. That was at the end of the regular season.
I mean, the game to go to the playoffs,
to get
the playoffs.
To clinch the playoff berth.
So,
right.
Yeah, to clinch it. So I was watching this game with my wife. And we held them to a field goal, and it was tied. And they gave the ball back to Jaden, and he marched down the field and hit the old man for the touchdown at the end of the game. I looked at her and said, "We got a cold-blooded assassin right here. He is top of the pole. He is one of these guys that I ain't never seen. I didn't even think Washington would ever get a quarterback like this. I've been watching since Joe Theismann. You know what I mean?" Since Joe Jacoby, Russ Grimm, you know, Charlie Brown. I've been watching it since I was a little dude.
Yeah.
And that's always been my team. But
that overtime drive, they won the toss, they took the ball, touchdown ends the game. It won't this year. Remember, the overtime rule changed, and everybody's now guaranteed at least one possession.
Another shot,
but he literally, remember, was near exhaustion. He rushed for like 50 yards on that drive. And Mariota came out, they called the timeout, and then he threw on the third down the touchdown pass to Ertz. That was spectacular.
Mariota whispered in his ear, "Hey, use your God-given ability." And he went on out there.
Right.
And shot one down the middle. And look, Ertz. I like Ertz, man. People don't give Ertz enough. You know,
well,
they don't love on Ertz enough.
He was Daniels last year.
He was clutch all year.
Jaden, 16 carries, 127 yards in the Atlanta game.
Yes.
He had 40 yards rushing on that overtime drive.
On that one sequence, yes.
Unbelievable.
He's far.
What a memory.
I'm in Louisville, Kentucky, okay? I live in Louisville. But my team always been Washington, always, since I knew football. So I'm so happy because it's been so long. Man, you know how I used to play Washington? Washington was my team on Madden, the old Madden on Sega Genesis.
Yeah, I remember that.
I used to play the hell out of.
Yeah.
And I had Gary Clark. I had Art Monk.
Sure.
Ricky Sanders. I had Ernest Biner out the backfield. Oh, man, I loved that game. But we've been crap for so many years. We had opportunities here and there. We made a couple strides in some years. You know, it wasn't nothing like this. I'm sure we are going to be the dominant team in the NFC now.
Thanks, James. Yeah, good call. Really appreciate it. Let me get to some others. I think I remember Sega Genesis Madden. I remember some very late nights playing that with friends. And the team that I always used was Buffalo because Jim Kelly and Andre Reed and all of those weapons, Thurman Thomas, they were unstoppable. Bobby in North Carolina, your number one moment from 2024.
Hey, Kev. I know I've been calling you a long time. You sure and I are brothers down the line somewhere because we think too much alike. You know, I'm going to the Detroit game. That was a special Saturday night.
Yeah.
It was just awesome, kid. I mean, the whole season was odd. If you go back and what you're doing now, asking people, if you go back and replay it, Kevin, it was just very magical. And I think when we got done that Saturday night and it hit me, you know, we were 60 minutes from getting back to the Super Bowl. That was, it gives me chills right now even talking about it, man. But that Saturday night in Detroit, because they were probably the favorite to make the Super Bowl, and we went to their house, and they were coming off a bye, and we took it to them, Kev. It was a total team effort. Defense yeah. stepped up, made some plays for us. It was just a good game all the way around. But the whole season, Kevin, I mean, it was just, you know, it was just magical. But the Detroit game is my game that I'm pointing to as my favorite for the
yeah,
year.
There was very something, about, yeah. For people like us, Bobby, that was like the first time it was like, wow, first of all, hadn't been in that round in 19 years.
Yeah.
Had not been exactly. in that round, the second round in 19 yep. years. And to be in that round and play in that environment, the last time they had been in that round, they had played in Seattle after the 2005 yep. season. They beat Tampa on the road, remember, like they did this year. And they went to yep. Seattle, which was another harsh environment. And they had Brunell. They were limited offensively, but they still were in that game because Gibbs just, yep. you know, he was able to extract anything from you know, chicken salad out of chicken, you know what, with every one of his teams. That were hurt, and that team was hurt. But that moment,
you know, if Carlos makes that interception, we win that game. Maybe you know, Carlos yeah, brought that interception.
Carlos Rogers has 10-0 in his hands in the second quarter,
yeah.
And dropped it.
Exactly.
But there was just something about being back in that round, and then being the high-profile yeah. Saturday night primetime game. And, yep. you know, the expectations that you're going to get your ass kicked. And I think all of us knew, be careful, we're not stopped. Yep. Nobody stops us. And Detroit was yep. banged up defensively going into that game. And it was an ass kicking. It really was.
Yep.
And
it
to
was.
Quiet exactly. that crowd, it felt like a throwback to when we would go to Chicago, we'd go to Minnesota, go to Philly.
Yep.
And win these, yeah. you know, shut the all-time favorite playoff game for me in terms of a revenge game was the Eagles game back in 90 when they had lost the body bag game in November. And
yeah.
then they went to the vet and won easily. And Buddy Ryan ran off the field with 10
didn't
seconds to go.
Hands.
Wouldn't even
yeah.
shake yeah. Gibbs' hand. That, exactly. it didn't feel like that in terms of the context of the game. But when you go on the road and you play like that and you win in that spot, that is an all-time memory. Obviously, winning the yep. whole thing will top that, but they didn't do that last year. Bobby, thanks, as always. Let's go to Steve in Columbia. Steve, your number one memory from last year. Go ahead.
Well, it's difficult to drop it down to note just one, but just let me preface this by saying that I went to LSU. LSU has been my team my whole life. And I actually, my first semester, I lived in Death Valley. My dorm room was built into the stadium. So that's how much I have about LSU. And when I started watching Jaden Daniels play in 22, I thought he was going to win the Heisman Trophy in 2023, of which he
yeah.
did, and I just love this guy. And so certainly my biggest one is that we went 4-12 or 4-13 in a year that we needed to in order to get the draft pick to pick him. So I have to go back to that. But the draft pick, we got him. They didn't go for, you know, that Chicago took Williams and get
never even met with Jaden Daniels, by the way. That's still amazing to me if
can
it's
you believe
actually
that?
True.
I mean, you know, and what are they doing? They're sitting back there now and they're looking at what we've got and what we did last year. And, you know, what they did was something that that Snyder would have done.
Yeah, 100%.
Now,
the Caleb Williams story has not been written yet. I mean, you don't write somebody off after 1 year. So we'll see what happens. But by the way, you being an LSU guy, right, Steve? One quick back to 23. I actually was in a conversation recently with an LSU guy, and if you were listening to me, I love Jaden in 22, but in 23, I'm like, this is the best quarterback in the country, and hopefully we keep losing to have a shot at him. But if they had had just a bad defense instead of one of the worst defenses in recent modern college football history, he would have won the national championship on top of the Heisman.
I'm sorry. You just stuck a knife in my heart. Absolutely.
Here's the thing too.
So many people down there feel as though Joe Burrow was a better quarterback. And I looked at this guy, and I would say online, and I was on LSU blogs and stuff like that, and I say, he's better than Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
He's better than Joe Burrow. Now, by much, no, it's not a whole lot, but he is better, and there's a whole lot of reasons why we could go through, and we're not going to get into that right now. But I felt as if he was a better quarterback, and certainly if he'd had any semblance of a defense down there, he took us to the championship.
Yeah, I don't think they would have lost the game that year had their defense been bad instead of historically awful. Steve, right. I got to run.
Now,
appreciate the call. All of you that I missed out on, maybe we'll take a few more on the other side. Stay on hold. I want to hear you. You guys have been on hold for a while. We're going to get to what Mayor Bowser said on the Junks earlier today. And Ben Standig will join us from training camp at 12. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the team980.com.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
So for those just joining, we are, kind of reminiscing about 2024. Number one most memorable moment of 2024. For me, it was the Detroit game. But there is some breaking news not related to any on-the-field stuff. They are working right now. Quinn spoke before practice, and we'll hear from some players after practice. Ben will join us in about 25 minutes. But Phil Mendelson, the D.C. Council Chair, announced that they will vote on the RFK deal a week from tomorrow, August 1st, and of course it will pass, and Mendelson is touting major changes for the better from the original deal that haircut back in late April with the team, and that Mendelson and the city council have negotiated what he believes to be a much better deal that will add an incremental $674 million in revenue over a 30-year period. If that's true, congratulations. And these things happen this way. You get a term sheet, and then you got that next step, which is the city council. And hopefully this is, what they were able to do. And congrats to them, the city council. But I don't want to lose, any sort of understanding that Mayor Bowser was significant in this process as well in getting the team and getting a deal that could be, further negotiated to get to this spot. And we're not waiting until mid-September. August 1st, they're on recess, but they're going to get this thing voted on, and it will end up being, 17 days after the July 15th deadline, leaving plenty of time for the team to get this thing started and have it open in the year 2030. All right, we're going to just take a few more calls. You guys have been holding for a while. Jason in Florida wants to weigh in on his number one moment of 2024. My number one was the divisional round win in Detroit. What about you, Jason? Go ahead. Thanks for holding.
Hey, what's up, Kevin? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure,
my Jason. Number one moment was My number one moment was definitely the breakout game of JD5 that Monday night against Cincinnati. Cincinnati, everybody knew Cincinnati couldn't go down 0-3 for the season. So we were prepared to go blow for blow, and JD5, he answered the call. He performed well. I think he was like 91 in pass completions.
Right, 21-23.
Yeah, and that deep bomb to Terry, like at the end of the game, like, oh my God, like that's when I knew like we had a star. So yeah. I love that moment.
Thanks, Jason. Great delivery too. That was understated and cool. Steve, my guy in Houston. What's up, thug?
What's up, you goon? Hey, brother.
What was your favorite moment?
Oh, man, why you ask this question? It's too many. You see how hard it's been on all the callers. I'm going to switch it up. I was going with Detroit. I think Detroit is in a special place because that's, you know, playoffs and all of the odds were against us. And that, you know, the clips from that radio show guy, you know, with all that big trash talk, that was classic.
Oh, right. Yeah. You remember that? Guy, I had him on the show, right? And he's like, you guys have no shot.
Yeah. And he kept talking about, yeah, what you did in Tampa won't be repeated in Detroit. He was right. Going there, but that was good.
His name.
But my favorite moment.
I think his name was Mark Ryan from the Detroit Lions radio station, The Ticket in Detroit. I think that's who it was. I've got several Lions. I can't remember. I think that was him. But he basically came on and trolled our team on the show.
Yeah, he did.
And I said to him, I said, have you watched Jaden Daniels? Are you sure about this?
We wanted
to undersell ourselves. Keep the bar low. Yeah.
Exactly. But let me go to my favorite moment. I switched it up to the Eagles game. The game where we had 5 turnovers. And I think, were we at home? Was that our home game against the Eagles?
Yeah, December 22nd.
Yeah. Yep. And 10 seconds left on the clock, no timeouts. And I think we're at the, I don't know, 15-20 red zone pretty much. And I think, with 10 seconds, maybe 2 plays. And when he hit Jamison Crowder in the end zone, that's unbelievable, man. Unbelievable.
Cornelius Lucas definitely false started on that play. You know, I had an Eagles fan remind me of that a few weeks back, and I went and looked at it, and they did get away with it. But you know what? That would have just pushed it back 5 yards, and he would have thrown the touchdown on the next play. It was just an amazing comeback. And overcoming 5 turnovers in that game is insane against that defense. That was what was
nuts. I mean, with those odds, that's almost impossible, man. 5 turnovers, you know, but we pulled it off. JD5, baby.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Jim, Salisbury, Maryland. Go ahead.
I have to say, Kevin, had to be the Detroit game. I just sat on my couch the whole game in stunned silence. I didn't say a word. It was just unbelievable. It was the most. It brought me back. You know what I'm saying? It brought me back to watching the team again. Just crazy, man.
That was nuts. It really was. You know, as we've been going through this part of the show, I've been looking at all of my notes on the Detroit game. And, you know, when they put Mariota in the game on that first 4th down on the first drive and he got stopped and Detroit took the ball over, went down and scored, I'm like, damn. I'm like, that was a moment in the game that you weren't going to be able to get back. And it's like, why would you have Mariota on the field when you have Jaden Daniels? You didn't need to get tricky in that spot. But they, from that moment on, they basically, I think, punted one time and they missed a field goal, and that was it. It was all touchdowns. It was all, you know, big play after big play. It was so impressive. Thanks, Jim. All right, 2 more.
Thanks.
Matt, go ahead. Matt, your number one moment from 24.
Hey, Kevin, just a little bit of context to this. I grew up in Alexandria back in the 80s. Went to the We Want Dallas game, the NFC Championship. Lifelong Skins fan, and I was able to take my teenage son to the Tampa playoff game and share that experience. That was his first game. We lived not far from downtown Tampa, so it was an awesome experience. My heart stopped when that ball hit that goalpost. And I just wanted to share that with you. And I appreciate you taking the call.
Yeah, I appreciate you calling in. You know, the thing about that Tampa game, and you were there, but the Detroit game, not a lot of our fans. The Tampa game, remember, there were a lot of Skins fans in Tampa.
It was like
for that
a home game. I was astonished. I was astonished. I'd never been to an away game where there had been anywhere close to that number of burgundy and gold. It was overwhelming.
Yeah, what a football game. The key play in that game was the Baker Mayfield fumble. You know, when they were deep in their own territory with the lead in the fourth quarter. And he fumbled.
You're going to laugh at this. Before that snap, I looked at my son and I said, it's about time for Baker to be Baker. And that, no joke, not 3 seconds later, he fumbled the ball.
You know what, though? I like him. I've become a Baker Mayfield fan. I think the dude's a badass.
He's got a heart. There's no question. You can't teach that. You can't teach some of the stuff he's got instinctively. Yeah.
Thanks,
man. I'll never not be a Washington fan, and it feels so good for us to feel like at least we're on the right track, because I have been down that long, dusty road for 30 years now, and it's been painful.
Yeah. That stretch of those 2 weeks were fun. All right, Big Law, finish it up for us. Go ahead.
All right, appreciate that, Kevin. Yeah, Big Law, Seven Cities, down here in Hampton Roads, man. So you asked for some defensive plays. Defensive play I got to bring up, which made me really start to believe this was a viable thing, was the Dante Fowler interception against the Carolina Panthers. And I was like, wait a minute. I said, we got something. You know, I said, the luck has finally turned for us. And to have him take that pick six back by a defender, it reminded me of when LeVar Arrington did it. And my big play was when Zach Ertz caught that touchdown against the Atlanta Falcons at the end of the game to end it.
Yeah.
I jumped up on that, man. That was phenomenal. But keep it rocking, baby. You're doing a great job as always.
Thanks.
We'll be down here listening.
Appreciate it, Big Law. All right. Didn't think we would go that long on it, but we got some good memories of 2024. All right. I want to play some of what Mayor Bowser said on the Junkies this morning. But the breaking stadium news, it's official. They're going to vote August 1st. Phil Mendelson touting a much better deal that the city council was able to create. I'm just telling you, I'm not taking any credit away from the mayor. It certainly seems to be his intention to take all of the credit for this. Everybody gets credit for this. Both sides, too. The team and the city. But they're going to vote a week from tomorrow, and the votes will be there, and it will be finalized that the RFK 2030 opening, that project will begin. Of course, the wild card, as we know, is 47. But hopefully this process has started and it will become official a week from Friday. You'll hear some of what the mayor said this morning with the Junks. Next, Ben Standig will join us from training camp at noon. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Did Goodell promise? It's probably already publicly known, but if you get a new stadium, you get a Super Bowl, right? That's a given. That's a given.
Lock for a
what
Super
other
Bowl.
Things can we,
lock.
What other,
lock it up.
Lock. What lock. Other things do we get besides a Super Bowl? We're going to get Final Four?
You could get Final Four. You could get WWE. You could get some college playoff. You could get
college
Final Four. Big concerts. Oh,
yeah. You can get Taylor Swift, Beyonce. Yep. You know what happened at the Beyonce concert recently? People were like, what is going on at this stadium?
Right.
Mayor Bowser earlier this morning on with the Junkies, a Super Bowl being, you heard her interject, lock, lock. Yeah, within 10 years, Washington's going to host a Super Bowl. The breaking news, which we expected yesterday, Chairman Mendelson, the council chair, announced today and held a press conference that they are going to vote on August 1st, a week from tomorrow. And obviously they're going to take a vote because they've got the votes to pass the deal that he described as a much better deal and much more advantageous for the city and its taxpaying residents than the original deal. But don't overlook the work the mayor put in getting the original term sheet done. That is a long slog to get that done. And good job by the council to perhaps improve the deal that the mayor had cut back in late April. So a week from tomorrow, it looks like we will have a go-ahead. And then, you know, I guess the next big event would be the groundbreaking. You know, when they break ground on the RFK site and begin the process of building out not only a stadium, but what will become, you know, I think in some ways like the Wharf and other areas, a destination for the DMV, for the region. Looking forward to that. 5 years away from it, but looking forward to it. This was Mayor Bowser on the stadium design. This is what she told the Junkies.
I have, and I'm talking a little bit ahead of school because out of school because we're always anticipating the right thing happening. And so when we get an approval, we want to be ready to go. We want to be ready with all the environmental, all the design. So I've had a couple of discussions with the design teams that the Commanders have brought on. And only when they get an approval, though, can they go 100%.
Okay. Did we learn anything from that about the design? That soundbite?
I think what they were asking was, have you seen the design? And her answer was like, yes, but I can't really talk on it.
Okay.
Kind of what it sounded like.
All right. So it'll be exciting when we see the mock-ups. I mean, there have been mock-ups that have been out there on the internet, on social media before, but I don't think they've been the actual chosen architectural drawings for the team. I'm actually interested in that process. Like, is it Josh Harris and the team that drives that process? Or I would think the city would have to have a say-so because there are building requirements, right? We have a very unique city in terms of its skyline. We have, you know, building height requirements, unlike every other city in the country. So not that a stadium is going to exceed that height, clearly, but the retail, the commercial, the residential around it. Anyway, this was the mayor on pregame tailgating at the new stadium. Here's what she said.
They don't have to worry about that. People drove in and out of RFK for years. Remember all those championships? It's going to be bigger, but there are also more transportation options than when the football team played there before. We have more public bus. We have more people taking scooters. We have ride share like through the roof. This is a transit town. People are not single occupant vehicle drivers in D.C. like they are in other places. So they're quite used to going to RFK. And by the way, we have a whole corridor that's waiting for these fans on H Street Northeast. So we want people to pregame at the stadium. And yes, they will be able to tailgate. And we want people to stop at all of the restaurants and eateries along the way, like on H Street Northeast, which is just a hop, skip, and a jump from the new stadium.
Yeah, that H Street corridor in Northeast is awesome. There will be a lot of options. you know, prior to games. But the area surrounding the stadium will be option A. And it sounds like tailgating, even if it's parking, you know, above ground parking, even if that ends up being a part of it. Here's the last soundbite that we wanted to play of the mayor, who was on with the Junkies earlier this morning, talking about RFK being the perfect location.
Was I blown away by it? No, because I thought they could see the opportunity. Like, this is not like a in my opinion, I'm the mayor, like a hard sell RFK. Like, it is perfect for the football experience, the views, and the importance. You know, Roger Goodell was at our announcement for a reason. Okay, so it's important to the team. It's important to the league.
It is. I mean, it's the only location. I mean, any other location, the cost probably would have been, you know, times five. And, you know, it's right there up against the Anacostia River. It's a massive piece of land. It is now leased for the next 100 years. There is history, tradition, and there's an opportunity to take a very blighted, large piece of land and turn it into something special for the city. In many ways, I'm excited that the team will end up back on the RFK site. You know, when all is said and done, it will be literally 33 years later, right? Moved out in 97 was the first year in Landover. They'll be in 2030. So 33 years. Put it this way. It was essentially 33 years that the team was at RFK before they moved. They moved in 61, moved out at the end of the 96 season. So 35 years at RFK. Remember this too, and I've said this a few times. Given the season the team just had, the problem with Landover was twofold. One, a stadium built, you know, basically overnight, and it was a bad stadium. We know what the, you know, ingress, egress, degress, all of the to and froms were nightmares with that stadium. But the other problem was they didn't have a good team ever in Landover. But these next five seasons, 25, 26, 27, 28, and 29, five more seasons with this team and this quarterback, the most memories in Landover will be made on the way out of Landover. It's very possible they're going to host many playoff games over the next 5 years, and maybe even an NFC championship game or two over the next 5 years. I'm getting ahead of myself for sure, but based on what we saw and based on what we think the quarterback will be, the best memories of Landover, Northwest Field now, will be in the final 5 years before the move to RFK. And it's very possible that some incredible lasting franchise memories will be made on the way out of Landover. Ben Standig from Ashburn, day two of training camp practices next.